Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Truly, your love is full of mercy and grace. Thank you. Thank you. Open our hearts and the areas of our life that has not experienced your love. And continue to set us free from fear. Perfect us with your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Good to see everybody here this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're looking good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I think the Lord is putting emphasis on love today. Amen. The prayers that have come forth this morning, it's all been focused on the love of God. And I believe because we are aware of this day in the nation, that is a day that love is talked about and shown in different ways. So I believe God is also using this day to show us his kind of love. Amen.
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 And we'll continue to flow with the Spirit of God in that area. Amen.
Amen.
There are different aspects of the life of God, the ways of God, the character of God that we encounter. Some people encounter Jehovah Rapha, and that's all they preach all their life. And they build their ministries around that. That God is a healer. Because they receive that very clear, they've experienced it. But on the other side, they might be struggling with finances. So another person might experience Jehovah Jireh. And that's what they preach. So God has different aspects of his character that we all experience in different ways, or have more understanding of. But God is bigger than everything that we know. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
There's room to always grow in the things of God.
Yeah.
So God wants us to experience every aspect of our areas, spirit, soul, and body, what God has provided for our freedom, our breakthrough, and our lives. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, this aspect, you know, when we receive from God, there are different ways, there are different avenues God has established for us to receive from him what he has for us. And he's made a lot of ways for us. I want to share today, the Lord put this in my heart since last week. I just left it and I just thought, okay, by the time we get close to this, it will show me what, you know, that's what stayed in my spirit. There's so much happening, there's so much in my human mind I would like to share with you. So much has happened this week. It's all from last week's Sunday to this week. A lot is happening, a lot of things God is pouring in our lives. But it's always good to God always good to be sensitive to what the Lord has for the moment. Amen?
Amen.
So however way you receive this morning, the only way I want to define it to you is that this particular avenue has done more in my life than many other ways I can explain to you. I'm beginning to come to the place where I'm asking the Lord, let me not share anything that I've not tasted and had experience and testimonies, so that it will just be out of testimonies. It has worked for me, and I know it will work for you. And today, I want to talk to you about unity in worship.
Hallelujah.
The spirit of unity in worship. Amen. We'll see how the Lord leads. But to get to that place, like we talked about the love right now. Love, God is love. That's what we had this morning. Amen? And we don't have this kind of love. But when we get born again, He planted that love in us. That's nature. That's seed. So to grow in that, it has to come from Him, isn't it? It can't come from man. It has to come from Him. Amen? And if men have it, it also comes through and from men. Amen? So that's why there are only two major commandments: to love God and to love people. Amen? Okay. So having this in mind, let's see how the Spirit of God leads us. Before we look at some scriptures this morning, I want to share three things that the Lord was just bringing, speaking to me. And he's speaking these things to, it's almost like a principle to meditate on. Principle to meditate on. Principles are things that if you get the right, it's something that you establish and you don't bend from it. People know you by that. Maybe somebody knows you. You made a principle, that's the word, but it's a commitment, it's a shift that takes place in your life. People say, see that girl, she's always the first in church. 20 years from now, people say that about you. That's a principle you maintain. There's something in you that kept it and it marked you, and people know you by it. You see that lady, she always picks up the trash in the church, outside the church. People know you, not just there, but they mark you by it. Because something in you have connected to something and it's become a principle. It's anywhere you go, anywhere you live, people will highlight that in your life. Because something has happened that established that principle. Change your character. Amen?
Amen.
So there are three things I want to share with you before we go into the word. That the Lord is shaping in my heart. You might be doing it, but he wants to re-echo it as a life of principle. The first one is, there was something I was struggling with. I was saying, God, you know, I'm still waiting on you, and I don't have the capacity that I am looking for to be able to rest confidently in this thing that you're showing me, and what, and then I can flow in it as much as I want, that I'm desiring from you. So I've limited myself thinking that, okay, God, when I have the capacity, when I come into that place that you're showing, I know that everything will flow, everything will. And the Lord spoke to me, says, you don't have to wait for the capacity you're thinking about. He says, he If you're faithful with what you have now, you'll get to the capacity you're looking for. And the scripture says, he that is faithful in little things, God will trust you with much. Sometimes we're willing to sing like this, or dance like this, or preach like this, or do like that, and we never leave that limit because we never step out in it. God says, you get to the capacity if you're faithful in little. Some people say, I want to be rich, I want to do this, I want to do that. God says, what you do with little is what you do with much. That's one principle. Don't wait until the dream you have in your mind. That dream will never happen if you don't take a step. It just, you keep dreaming. That's one principle the Lord reminded me of, and I find it to be true. The other one is, I didn't realize it, that that's the way this house has been living for years, and the Lord started clarifying this second one. He said, okay, let me, you know, we all come to church on Sundays or through the week, and we leave. Many times, the word that is preached ministers our heart, it blesses us, we're empowered, we're excited. But when we leave, walk out of this door, we come back next Sunday, we want another word, we want to be encouraged. Yes, we're refreshed, we're blessed. But what we received this week, we wrote it down, we memorized it. But after a while, there has to be a tangible fruit that what I received has made a difference in my life, has transformed my life. Amen. So the Lord will show me the reason why most times that is not the case in the things we receive. Most times we're edified, we are blessed, it gives us a temporary refreshing, but not a major transformation. Let Dizzy, you're here, okay. I'm going to need you for the message we have today. So, the principle number two that you can think about is, the Lord started showing me, he says, let me use first the physical to explain this scripture, the spiritual. In the physical, when Jesus was physically here on earth, there were people who encountered him, and it was their moment, like blind Bartimaeus. He refused to let him go. It was his season. There were people like the woman with the issue of blood. She has been with doctors, she's always known things. But there was a moment in time, she grabbed onto Jesus. She's heard about him, but she grabbed onto Jesus, and there was a change. The Bible says we don't know Jesus after the flesh anymore. But by the manifestation of the Spirit, he's ever present. And the word is true. So principle number two, the Lord was showing me, says, when the word of God is preached, when the word of God comes, whether through prophecy or through the Bible, through the word of God, or through, by revelation, it says, revelation is the manifestation of the word that gives you understanding of Jesus' reality at that moment. When you hear the word of God, it reveals Jesus to you. He's the word. It reveals Jesus to you, what he can do, who he is. That revelation, you're like, wow, this is Jesus, this is wow, you receive it. He says revelation brings you into a season for whatever the need is, but your obedience brings you into the breakthrough of that season. Every time we get a revelation, you just enter into a season. Every time you receive something from God, that revelation brings you into a season, a moment for you to receive that which you are believing, that which you're looking. When it says obedience begins the metamorphosis of manifestation. Without obedience, that season, you wait for another season. That's why we come over and over and over. There are some things when you receive it here, it does something to you that the rest of the year, that thing anchors you on that area. And you stand firm on it. And you press in firm on it. And you persevere firm on that word. No matter what that situation brings, that revelation has put Jesus right there with you. And you press in until you're totally happy. So, revelation brings you into a season. But obedience brings you into the breaking through of what that season is. So many times God brings us into revelations that brings us into seasons. But that season also produces its fruit. The Bible says to David, he says, he that meditates on the word of God is like a tree planted by the word that brings forth its fruit in seasons. So revelation brings into season. Some people pocket it, dance with it, celebrate, come, but others produce fruit because we are meant to go from glory to glory. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 So, be faithful in little things, and you get to the capacity that God is calling you. And when you receive revelation, seek God for how to obey. And that will bring you into the seasons of breakthrough regarding that situation, or overcoming, or be at peace into that season. Amen?
Amen.
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 Now, what I just shared with you, and what connecting it to where we're about to go this morning, let me use a farmer to explain that to you. A farmer has a field and has a grain, maybe corn. So all that the farmer is required to do in his part is he has to clear that field. Amen. That's human, isn't it? God doesn't clear the field for us, does he? He's given us the land. We clear the field. He gives us the seed. And then what do? He doesn't plant the seed for us. We plant the seed. That's partnership, isn't it?
Yes.
Then we don't produce the sun and the rain. That's God's word. God says, all I want from you is, you see that field? You have to take the weeds off. That's your part. You have to clear it. That's your part. You have to put the seed in the ground. That's your part. If you do it and rain and sun doesn't come, then I failed you. So you can see fruit for your labor. God has called us disciples because he requires discipline. If we don't meditate on the word that we receive when we go out here, it's not going to help you. This word, you hear it and don't go home and study and meditate and make decisions. The trials you face are supposed to produce the fruit of what you do. Amen? I know God has blessed us with smartness, but I'm telling you, I don't think I'm that smart. Once I live here, I forget a lot. Once I go to conference, go to meeting, I forget a lot. I have to go back. I have to make notes. Many of us don't write things anymore. I have to make notes. I have to, not notes of what the person is saying, but what God spoke to me through what he said. Then I go and I meditate. I use the scriptures and I begin to say, how do I apply this? Or else we'll just be going from revelation to revelation. And there is no transformation. So, I laid this foundation so that what you are about to hear this morning will be an internal weapon that you can use, an internal principle you can use steadfastly until it's like the sun and it's like the rain when you plant your seed. No matter what you go through, you are guaranteed the sun and the rain will be there for you. Amen? Now going into this, the word, let me use a woman's experience in the Bible, and then that will give you, again talking about love. Jesus was going somewhere, and as he was going, you know, he doesn't do anything unless what his father shows him. There was a need that the father revealed to him. And he told his disciples, we must by all means go through Samaria. You know, it's like the story of the prodigal son. You know, he's just going to not report the good Samaritan. He was going somewhere. God says, no, you're going to go this way. So he went that way and was sitting by the well, waiting. You know, many times, you all know, the life of Jesus teaches us obedience. He was in the flesh. He was waiting because God told him to wait. So sometimes God will send us an assignment. We have to wait. Sometimes we don't see that thing immediately. We think we missed it. He waited by that well until the woman came. When this woman came, you all know the story. This is just to let you see the power of worship. This woman has been through problems. This woman has been through a lot of situations psychologists, psychiatrists, and people cannot get to. It was deeply in her soulish realm. And it was the absence of love. The love that heals and the love that sets the captive free. So, Jesus thought and wanted to tell all generations then and generations to come the power of love and the power of the presence of God. So he told the woman using a well. Everybody say well.
Well.
You dig a well, use the physical, and then there's water in the well, deep on the ground, isn't it? The well is a puddle that you have to put in a bucket or something through, and there's water there. Amen?
Amen?
And that water, when you bring it out, it quenches a dying thirst, a thirsty man. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord was revealing to this woman that there are problems in our lives. There are vices, there are situations in our lives, growing up, any situation. No man escapes it, no matter what you went through, even just the self nature in our lives from the fall of man. There is a soul that is separated from the presence of God. And there are souls that have been battered, wounded, and desperate, but the soul is spirit. So it cannot be fixed by any human atmosphere. Nobody can fix the soul because of his spiritual, but it's also physically connected to us. So this woman, Jesus used as an example. She looked for every physical need, physical desire to meet these needs. Obviously, the woman must have a lot of good things about her to have had so many husbands. She must have been pretty or whatever. She must have whatever it takes to make men overlook everything to be there. She has whatever she wants physically, but somehow everything she's trying physically was not solving this problem. Amen? And this time is her fifth husband. And not yet. So Jesus met this woman and he told the woman, all you need is water. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody say water.
Water.
And the woman, okay, you all know the whole story. So they ended the story, the woman receiving water. But the well was a physical example and the water there of a spiritual reality. And it was in that encounter, as the woman came back to tell the whole world, there is one solution for your soul, is water. It is Jesus. It was in that atmosphere that Jesus said something that will change all our lives forever. He says, the Father, who is love, isn't it? Who is everything, who is all powerful, who is everything. He says, the Father is looking for true worshipers that will worship Him, what? In spirit and in what? Truth. For what God is what? Spirit. The water you are looking for is spirit, not physical. As the physical water quenches the thirst, so we don't die. Then he says, I fast as the deer pants after the water, but so my soul longs after you. God is a spirit. Love is spirit. The power of God is spirit. Everything heaven has is what? Spirit. And God says, He wants to pour out what? His spirit, like what? Rain. Like water. Rivers of living water. Amen?
Amen.
And in Ezekiel 14, he says, wherever this water goes, the water of life, he does what? He heals. So as we all know. So the Lord started, I said, okay, you know, everybody grows according to the level of their revelation. We don't want anointing, we don't want to lay hands on the sick, we don't want to do this, we want to do that to heal. But the Lord says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by who? By what?
By
my spirit. And God says, there is a place where I can what? Pour out my spirit. For I am like a well. And those who come to draw out of that well, I will heal. I will quench that whatever it is that has been keeping them, and they are looking in the physical trying to be solved. So God says, all I am for is a generation that knows how to enter into that well. How to receive from that well. How to receive from what? The well. The well of life. The well of the spirit. The well of power. The well of his glory. The well of his presence. And he says, all he's looking for is those who can connect worship in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Before we go further, let me explain this to you. There are battles that can only be fought if you're in the spirit. And God has made a way for us to be in the spirit without knowing we are in the spirit when we are doing it. There were, for example, in the Old Testament, I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is very important. In the Old Testament, there was a big battle that Jehoshaphat had to fight. Amen?
Amen.
And God says, now paraphrasing, you don't need physical weapon in this battle. You need the spirit to fight it. And the only way the spirit of God will fight on your behalf, releasing angels, is for you to be in the spirit. How are you going to be in the spirit? See, let me tell you what you do. Go to this battle with what? Worship. I mean, we worship, isn't it? But you have to. I pray that we will get to that time in the time we have. I never realized that to be in the spirit, the flesh has to be out of the way.
Yes.
And the only way the flesh has to be out of the way is what? For you to be in unity. And because unity does not come cheap, unity comes through humility. So God told them, this is what you all are going to do. You are going to go to this battle and everybody saying the same thing, singing the same thing. For God is good and his what? Mercy and just forever. God is good and his what? Mercy. If you all will unite and keep singing that, flesh is out of the way. Because worship, we are so wired differently. Worship is not how eloquent you sing. Worship is not how gifted you sing. Worship is the condition of humility in your heart. Humility is the absence of you and the focus is on God and obedience. How do you get to the place where you are able to receive and you see yourself in the spirit? They were in the flesh, they were working. For God is good. No. If you study very well, you see that you can't get everybody here, the worship team say, let's sing hallelujah, or let's sing. Everybody, you see 20 people do 20 different things. Maybe 5 people will be singing with the worshiper. Maybe 5 people will be flowing. That's because a lot of flesh is there. When the flesh begins to say, I love you, Lord, because the worshiper says, let's say, I love you, Lord, you die to do that. And when every voice is lifted, not murmur, not meditation, is a price to pay. To bring everybody to say the same thing, somebody is dying. I don't know how many times I've been there, they'll say, stand up or do this or do that. I'm in the spirit already, but I wanted to be in the unity. I said, God help me. But sometimes you can be on your knees, you can be standing. You don't have to shift your position, but connect to that person. You see, it's the same thing about submitting to authority. Let's look at a few scriptures together. Now that we're there, let's open our Bibles. The first scripture we want to look at is quickly, let's look at Psalms 133. Psalms 133, I'll go really quickly. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Every time you see unity, you're in the spirit. I'm telling you. Because two cannot agree unless they can't work together unless they agree. And I'm telling you, unity is not a small thing. Unity is the killing of the flesh. Because unity is, I have to give up my way for God to have his way. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See how God describes what happens where unity is manifested. It is like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Amen. In other words, you see, wherever unity is, you have a clear open heaven. Just like when the oil was poured upon Aaron to anoint him to serve in the capacity of high priest. The same thing is saying, wherever there is unity aligned to worship, you literally make Jesus the head of that moment. And everything that is upon him flows right into him. The Spirit of God takes over. Anywhere there's unity in worship, all you see when there's unity in worship is Jesus. You don't even know this. The worship team is there at a point. Because now Jesus has arrested your attention. In worship, when your attention is still the worship leader, you're still not where you should be. So it says, it's not only a parallel of the anointing that comes into that moment. God said, wherever there is unity, I come in to take over. Because now a place has been created for me that no man is in control. They are giving me control because they are all saying, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Because we are all submitting to the leader. And the leader is saying, God, this is what you want. And so then it says, it's like a dew of Haman, as a dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord what? The Haman mountain is a very fertile green area. Not from rain, but because that mountain is so high and so like, you know, that just curved like that. The dew was just enough to fertilize the earth. And it flows, dew flows there like, becomes like water. And waters our whole place. It says, there God commands blessings. There God commands blessing. My brothers, there's a lot of preaching about don't forsake the assembly of brethren. A lot of people do it for selfish reasons. They don't want to see people in church. They want to see people come pay tithes. They want to see people say about come. But one of the reasons for that scripture is that you don't miss a corporate blessing. That's the main reason. Mount Zion is the assembly of the saints. He said, don't forsake the assembly of one another, because the place of assembly is the place of the glory of God revealing himself. It's a place you have an encounter and experience in unified worship you cannot have by yourself. And it's a place where the unified blessing causes a breakingness in you that releases a commanded blessing you can never get on your own. There is an incense and there's a presentation before heaven that you give to God. But there is a corporate sacrifice that comes through worship that God desires. And you can't give it yourself. So, by not coming together, you either deny yourself or deny other people the privilege of entering into that corporate blessing. So, because God knows days like this will come, God had mercy on us. He says, don't worry about 10,000 to miss the blessing. Don't worry about 20,000. Don't worry about 10. He said, when two or three are gathered, I'll still make it happen.
Yes.
All you need is one person or two to enjoy that commanded blessing.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you another aspect of why this is very important. We talked about the well being the, he says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. God is that well of life. Amen?
Amen.
That well is his spirit. He says it's not by might, nor by power, nor by what? By spirit. Meaning the spirit is power, the spirit is healing, the spirit is love, the spirit comes to, the spirit of God shares the love of God. Everything about God is his spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So, look at what the Lord is saying. Jesus, understanding the power of the anointing and the glory of God, as he was about to leave, the last, this was the prayer Jesus himself prayed. The other one was the prayers he taught his disciples to pray. Of course, he lived it, praying the kingdom. The prayer Jesus prayed is found in John 17, 21 and 22. What did he say? Listen to what he says, Jesus prayed. 21 and 22. Father, that they may be what? One. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Do you understand that? Unity brings us right before the throne of God. One in us, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Number 22. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as what? To show you how he prayed that prayer and how serious it is, Jesus is saying, you see the need of the people out there? Depends on the unity of the church. Do you know that he prayed that prayer and he told them, he told the disciples, you go wait, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send the power to you. Do you know when the Bible says they received the Acts chapter 2 verse, Acts 1, 2, Acts chapter 2 verse 1, it says, they were in one accord, in one place, after 10 days, on the 10th day, they were in one accord, and what happened, they immediately found the throne room of God, heaven opened, and they were brought into the power. And what happened to them? The Bible says they were like, they received a new wine. What wine was used for? Healing, for joy, for self. It says these people were drunken with love. They were possessed with love. They lost everything and were behaving like they were drunk, drunk with joy, to the point the Spirit of God was doing anything he wanted to do through them. My brothers and sisters, the Lord is saying, always go back to the way I started, and you know what I need, what I require. I don't need man to help me. I just need you to surrender in unity. I will come, and I will do what only my spirit can do. Everybody here has needs, just like your faces are different. So is it a man that will come and meet your need? Who is that man? But the Spirit of God knows every face here, knows every need here, and has the power. God says, all you need is to find that place of unity in worship that makes sure no man is there. All right, come in, take over. You will live here without your needs. You will not live here carrying those needs. That woman, when he came to that well, she did not go back the same with the bucket. He left it. That is church. So Jesus says, the day is coming, you don't have to come to Jerusalem. Why? Because heaven will be open. And as many as that, God is not saying you have to strive. No, God says, I am looking for where unity is. Where they are in spirit. I'm looking so that I can move there. Mm. I can do something there. Mm. See, when worship team comes and keeps saying, lift up your voice, sing, do this. You know, you hear Jesus say, let the Lord not cry out. I mean, understand, worship. Somebody can worship for you.
Hey,
it's impossible. You can receive from the atmosphere of worship, but you can, somebody can present incense on your behalf.
Hmm.
That is, they can present to bless you, but the incense that God, let me put it this way, this is how God put it to me. When you go draw water from the well, the way you're drawing water from the well and what you're using to draw that water from the well is what that water will come out from the well with. My brothers and sisters, I cannot explain it to you. God told them, just say, for God is good and his mercy endures
forever.
Just say it. My brothers, I don't know what God must have done, but all I know is, as they started saying it, who knows if it was like thunder in the atmosphere, who knows how God used it, but it must have been like lightning. Whatever God told them to do, as they were saying it, something happened. And by the time they got to the battlefield, the enemies were dead. Ah! It's the same God. God is saying, the only thing that is holding me from doing what I want to do is me. God is not saying I cannot do it. That's what I'm saying about capacity. He's just saying this. Find what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something. Can I find it? We were Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. Paul received a vision to go to somewhere to minister Philippi. He got there. You all know what happened. Ended up beaten, put in jail, blood flowing. Amen?
Amen.
What happened? Paul told Silas, if I can find unity, if we can just praise God in unity. You know why unity is important? Silas could have said, Paul, did you really receive a vision? We're really going the right way now. Look at, we're in jail. You sure you heard from God? We're bleeding. You sure we heard from God? He would have said that. The vision is already there. He might not say, but it would be in his heart. The vision is already there. You brought us into this thing. And you want us to worship God? To sing? No, but something has happened in your heart. A bond has been established. A supernatural unity has been established. And when Paul says, let us praise God, you know what he did? They did it aloud. Go and listen to it. The jail had two people singing in unity and praising God. Most of the time, it's still the same song. For God is good and is what? Mercy and this. You don't have to go to music school to say that. As they were in unity, and the jailers heard them, meaning they were singing aloud, something happened. God commanded blessing. I was struggling one time. I fasted, I prayed, and I had to take care of this situation. It was, my life is like that generally. Because the things God asks us to do, personal things and some things I keep, are things I just can't do on my own. So I have to trust Him. And sometimes the deadline is there. What do you do? So this time I've crossed the deadline. I'm like, oh my God, it's getting to, this is going to be embarrassing. But I just know God will make a way. But I just wanted to know when. Because the time looks expired. So, I fasted, I sought the Lord, I prayed, I've done other things. And I've told that testimony. So one day, because we were going to church, I went to church that day because I just entered into this worship. Of course, I've done personal worship, but this breakthrough required a corporate worship. In that corporate worship, that TLR building there, I was in that corporate worship, and it was in that corporate worship the revelation of the Lord. Like Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. You don't have to see Jesus physically. When you get a revelation, and it's as real as anything, the Word of God reveals something to you, you have seen Him. Because the Word and the Spirit are one. And there was peace. That week, that breakthrough came supernaturally. Complete supernatural. It's one of the biggest testimonies of my life in the area of finances. That day, I fell on the floor and I said, does things like this thing happen? Why? It came through a corporate worship. So, my brothers and sisters, finally, let me read the scripture. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. They have built the temple. Solomon has set everything in place. They brought the Ark of the Covenant. They brought everything, they put it in there. Amen?
Amen.
So they put in the Ark of the Covenant. And all of a sudden, after they put everything together, listen to this. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 from verse 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the what? Singers were as one. To make what? To make one sound. To be what? Heard. Heard. To make one sound to be heard. In what? Praising and thanking God. And when they lifted up what? What did they lift up?
Their voice.
With who?
With the trumpets.
And what? And what?
Instruments of music.
What happened?
Praise the Lord.
And look at them. They always repeat the same thing. What did they say? Praise the Lord. So sometimes it's not singing 20 songs in a worship service.
Yeah.
When you find, sometimes you just find that song.
That's right.
And you feel it.
Yeah.
And you see God doing something. Stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened as they were doing singing that one song?
The house.
What God said, He did it back. If a plumber plants a seed, rain will come in the season. Sun will shine. And you produce fruit. Do your part, and then God's part is guaranteed. God's part shows up. He says, for He is good and His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Then the house was filled with cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to what? Minister. By reason of what? The cloud. For what? The glory of the Lord has. My brothers, when the glory of God comes here, do you know what it means? It means that God will begin to single out your roots. Because He knows your thoughts from afar off. He knows exactly where the shoe hurts. And His glory means His Spirit is here to meet needs. He's here to help. He's here. Do you know that day I had a pain? You know, when you walk too much and walk, sometimes I have a pain. I tried every way possible, still having the pain, and I just find my way, knelt down, and started worshiping the God. I go lift up my hand, just, and I just continue to worship the Lord. I was saying, God, why must this? What, teach me, give me wisdom. What should I do? To I shouldn't be going through this. You know, I mean, you go through this questioning. You know what? But in the midst, I said, God, help me. What should I do? I bent down and I just started worshiping. And as I started worshiping, I didn't feel the pain anymore. Amen. And the Lord said, what did you just do?
Thank you, Jesus.
You just yielded to my presence.
Yes.
And I ministered to your need.
Yes. Yes.
You don't need to do this in your strength. I've told you over and over, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. Just create the atmosphere for me to come. Both personally and corporately. So, my brothers and sisters, the Lord is calling us into a season of encounter. And He wants us to begin to practice one of these avenues. There are many avenues. I just told you today, I said, I wanted to share with you one way that God has changed my life forever. And I found that it is true. Every time the farmer plants the rain, comes the sun, the same thing. Every time I apply this principle, it works. My brothers, it doesn't matter the depths of the heart. It doesn't matter the depths of the betrayal. It doesn't matter what you have been through. The Bible says that water is a living water. It's the love of God that we talked about. It will go there and it will take care of business. And then we can give that love that is now put in us. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want us for just 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Now, you all know that the Spirit of the Lord is sovereign. You know, again, I'm saying, when you're in the spirit, you know, maybe Mr. Walbright, you know, when you fellowship with brethren, we had a fellowship of the men this week. It's such a blessing to connect with men with men. Amen?
Amen.
With men with women. There's a reason for these fellowships. That was a powerful fellowship this Saturday. I didn't want to leave, but I had to go to somewhere. Getting to know these men of the house. Amen. Thank you, Wala. Wala's family cooked better than Cracker Barrel for us. I'm telling you the truth.
Hallelujah.
I like Cracker Barrel, but they were better than Cracker Barrel. Then, is it true? Then, this plate was full. I knew it. I went with it. Coca, Coca, ask Coca. Is Coca there? Okay. We had fun. Amen?
Amen.
Cheryl cooked, all of them they cooked. Amen.
Amen.
Fellowship. Powerful fellowship. We miss you guys. We're going to somewhere next time. We'll take you there. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Fellowship of the Spirit is what worship is. And God loves it in the midst of His family. Brothers and sisters, let's take a moment. Just a few disclaimers. Don't put the Holy Ghost in a box. You see, whenever I share the Word of God, I pray that I only share it where what I know is not your limit. God, no man can ever limit what their knowledge to the Word of God.
Amen.
Let this always be your limit.
Amen.
Because whatever I share now might just be, you might be, God might be taking you somewhere I've not even tasted. Because you received it from here. So, if you're on the floor and you're already in the spirit, somebody say, stand up. All of us stand up. Let everybody else stand up. Amen? But if you cannot, because you're in the spirit and there you can receive, still unite yourself. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But if you can stand, stand. Amen?
Amen.
You know what that is doing? It's killing our flesh.
Amen.
I remember those days somebody said, lift up your hands and... But don't command it, because when you command it too much, it makes people don't want to obey. Just say, can we all lift our hands together?
Yes.
Amen? Can we all clap our hands? Not clap your hands, of course. Don't mess your mind. I don't want to clap my hands. They're humans, we're rebellious. Amen. You all know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Lift up your hands. Some of us feel like we wanted to lift now, we're putting it down. Amen. So just say, it's time to celebrate the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all. The Bible says, lift up your hands, so you are.
Amen.
And let's worship the Lord together.
Amen.
Let's bow down together.
Amen.
You come and say, bow down, bow down. God doesn't tell me, bow down, bow down, bow down. It comes out of revelation. Before God reveals himself, I'm already down. Amen. But commanding me to bow down, that's I want to do it out of the awe and reality.
Yes,
obedience.
Yes, yes,
yes. Amen?
Amen.
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 Those are just disclaimers so you flow.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because God is sovereign. Hannah was in the spirit, and it was the priest that almost cut that off. Eli said, why you behave like you're drunk? She was in the spirit.
Uh-huh.
The priest was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So God is sovereign. Amen?
Amen?
So like I'm saying, lift up your voice. Sometimes when you're joining them and you don't feel at that moment you can really lift up your voice and you're in the spirit, be in the spirit and connect. Don't say, because you say everybody must sing aloud and then you call out of the spirit to sing aloud. You understand what I'm trying to say? Be led by the Spirit, but flow in that spirit of humility. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It might not be today, but as we come back here every night, God wants to take a habitation. Where two or three are gathered in unity,
mm-hmm.
where two or three shall agree, I will be there. So, is it okay? Can we all stand up together?
Yes.
Amen. This is just lead us, and let's all just take this moment and unite ourselves in worship and just sing and just worship the Lord. And we'll pray. Let's practice this together. Thank you. All of us with one voice as you listen.
Yes,
yes, Tony, help us. I'm
One time, I am a blessed.
Yeah.
Oh, Worship mean to you? That's all we're going to talk about, and it's a fellowship. The Lord must be doing something. The Lord wants something. And it's a privilege that the Lord will release the grace of worship. Don't let your voice be lost today. Let your voice be counted. Let the heavens be a record that you lifted up your voice today in worship. Let's begin to lift up our voices and say, God, you are good. You are the lover of my soul. You are the bishop of my soul. The song that we used to sing in gospel said, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. Let's lift up our voices and worship him. Give him worship. Give him praises. Be good. Put our hands lifted up. With our hearts filled with praise. With hearts of thanksgiving. We do bless you, O God. We do worship you. Who is like unto thee, my God? Who can compare with you? You are worthy of worship, worthy of worship, worthy of worship. Who are we that will even bring worship to you? Oh, we bless you with all that is within us. We stand in praise, we bow down, we prostrate, we fall before you. For you are worthy of worship, worthy of praise. We are alive, we are well today. God, you have been good to us. See us in Cleveland, Tennessee, moving around freely. And people are locked up in states and countries. Many have died. And we are so sad and many are mourning. But today we stand here strong because you've been faithful. You have been good. You have not given us over even to our own weaknesses and our wickedness. You have been merciful. So we say with the Israelites of old, you are good. You are good. And your mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Israelites sang it. Adonai Adonai Tov. Kilei Olam Hasdo. For his love, his mercy endures forever. We do give you thanks. We do give you praise. We do bow to you. We do worship you. We declare we love you. We love you. We love you. With all that is within us, we bless your holy name. Thank you for giving us that privilege of worshiping you. The Lord even said in Psalm 133, there you command your blessings. So we live here with the blessings of the Lord. Because we praised you today. We believe that glad, grateful that you touched us. Blessed be your name, God. In Jesus' name we worship. Amen. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah.